Good morning. This is Backstage Pass with your hosts, The Raven and The Wizard Jay on 12radio.com. And we are excited to be bringing you a fresh new round of interviews and with the talented and gifted advisors from 12Listen and the host from 12Radio. And we've got two people today to introduce you to. And so I'm so excited about that. So we want to invite you to join us in the private Facebook chat room that we have, where you can post comments or ask questions for the guests. And I'll let Wizard Jay take the mic from here and explain how to do that.
You can do that by, hi Raven, by the way.
Good morning.
Good morning. You can do that by heading over to 12radio.com and clicking on the chat button there on the left hand side of the screen. That opens up a brand new window. It is a private Facebook group with the same name, 12Radio. Send over an invitation and we will get you approved and in the group this morning while we're live. You'll see our banner there at the top, Backstage Pass, and you can join us in the comment section. That's where the conversation is going to be happening during the show. So do we have any announcements, Raven, before we get going on
the Yes, we do. Today's the new moon, so the Moon Project is back in swing again. And so tonight, you and I will be hosting the new moon in Gemini. And to get registered for that class, you can go to 12academy.com and register there. Starts at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
And I'm going to see if I can get a link here posted in the comments while we get started. So that way it's easy for you to find out where to sign up. And Great. Who's going to be our guest today?
Oh, we have two guests today for everyone.
What?
We have. Yeah, we got two people in the hot seat. Have we ever done that before?
For this show. We have, because I believe the only other two were Christina and Oliver.
Christina and Oliver, yeah. Okay, well, we have a wonderful dynamic duo for you today. We have 12Listen advisor Daniel is with us, and we want to introduce you to the lovely Britt Brandon. She is the author of 24 books on health and nutrition and fitness and spiritual aspect that gets tied in with that. Her latest book is called She Rises and Thrives, and we're going to post a link to her website, ultimatefitmom.com. And so they're going to be doing a radio show together here in the very near future. So we wanted to have them on and introduce you to them both. So without further ado, why don't you two both come on in? Welcome to Backstage Pass. Good morning.
Thank you. Hi, guys. How exciting. Britt, are you on?
I am, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Yippee. Oh, this is, this is like our test run, Raven and Jay, my amazingly talented and gifted colleagues. So thank you for generously sharing the show space with, this, project. So we're excited.
Do you have a name for your show yet?
I think it's still in development. So maybe by the end of the day, we come up with one that sounds fun.
I know, that would be fun. We have a couple in the works, so it would be great if something shook out in this time space here.
Do you want to talk about the show, the premise of the show, or what you're going to be about? Or are you going to leave that a surprise?
If I may, our show is, believe it or not, 25, Britt, going back to Crestone, at some level, we're 25 years in the making here.
But, I know. So crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's like this has been a project in God's hands for, 2.5 decades. But I have to share my science project story with you guys today.
Okay, please do.
It's silly. Well, Britt has single-handedly raised three, or is in the process of raising three amazing children. And she sends me this picture this morning of her youngest, young JD, with a rocket in his hand and at the science fair. And I was in the midst. I had a science project last night, too. And so this is a very alpha subject, so I hope you guys are on board. But I slept with a sleep mask last night for the first time. It's like I want you guys to know that today I am the beneficiary of the best night's sleep I've had in 20 something years. And I know this is so goofy, but I was in a consignment store yesterday and they had this little Tumi, you know, Tumi, that high end sort of luggagey, you know, carrying stuff. And they had this little Tumi case for like $3. I was like, oh my God. And inside of it was a sleep mask. And I'm like, oh, this must be some divine sort of thing. Cause 25, I tried sleep mask many years ago and I'm super nocturnal. And I don't know about your experience, but I put on the sleep mask and my third eye was just, it went crazy. It was so distracting that I couldn't get to sleep. So I never did it again. But subsequently, I haven't had much luck with super solid sleep. I sleep for a couple, 3-4 hours, and I'm very nocturnally. And so last night though, I try this mask on and I woke up once, cause I had a little ice maker project going, on in the other room and I wanted to check on it, but I literally slept through the night for the first time in 2 decades. And
wow.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever experimented with it. I mean, it's so silly here in my, you know, at my midlife stage going, oh my God, have you heard of these amazing new things called sleep masks?
So, I've never tried one.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Anyway, so my perkiness today is directly connected to that.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'll have to try that. I'm super nocturnal too.
Yeah, I've never ever like considered how something like that is so impactful. Like, you know, I realize that every, you know, the little blink from the light in the other room, like that these things take us out of our zone. So it's kind of an analogy for life, you know, that these things that take us out of being centered. And if folks are working on their meditation practice or exercising the third eye, oh my gosh, like the whole sleep mask thing is take it to another level instantly.
Oh yeah. See, I get distracted trying to meditate. So I have one of those sleep masks though, somewhere in there in one of those bathroom drawers, junk drawers, and I'll dig that thing out and try it for meditation. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Brit's sort of like later, more recently to the meditation game.
That's recent, yes.
Well, yeah, so, you know, for me, those masks are, I've used them, but I always think, oh yeah, I want to use them more and forget. And you're reminding me to get it out because I have the same issue. I see the little flashes or the, you know, any little thing will get my attention even when I'm sleeping. So that could definitely be a great thing for me to check out as well. So
especially if there's any folks listening that like are looking to take their meditation game up on a level, it's a worthy experiment because you talk about swirling vortexes of fun. Wow.
So
one of my daughters actually swears by it. She keeps hers on the little bedpost by her bed. That's how she even got started, so that it was like right there. And every time she went to sleep, it was right there and she'd use it. And now she uses it every single night.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jay, I interrupted you. Go ahead, brother.
I want to go backwards and talk about how the two of you met. And it sounds like you guys met at some corporate job. Can you give us a little bit more of that story and kind of lead us into how you both have gotten to where you are today?
Well, it wasn't a corporate job, but I'm kind of interested to give Britt the first, like, you know, piece on this, because it will be interesting to hear her perspective. But it was a spiritual retreat.
I was just gonna say, yeah, so it was a spiritual retreat. It was for like, man, I want to say, and this is 25 years ago. So it was like 7 days of just fully immersive experiences that were all over the place and absolutely wonderful, from sweat lodges and visiting Native American families, and wasn't there how the monks that was there? I mean, it was everywhere, whether it was like whitewater rafting and hot springs to just, I mean, it was just one experience after another after another, but just the most glorious souls were on this were at this spiritual retreat, and that's where I got to meet Daniel. Cool.
Well, and I recognized Britt's light and brightness immediately, and have had the pleasure to cultivate it, observe it, celebrate it here, because we haven't maintained contact throughout this time, so it's been a series of contractions and coming back together. But shout out to my Crestone friends. But the this there was a, and I'm not sure if it's still going on, but there is a spiritual experiment going on in Crestone that was an assemblage of the Babaji Ashram. There was a Zen monastery, and there was the mystical Carmelite nuns, and so all of these different spiritual paths came together or have come together on this mountain, along with the Native American piece, as Britt mentioned. And so we did, service at these, maybe you skipped out on that part, but we did service on, clean up and assembling stones, and we did walking meditation and things like that. And also the group that led us on this pilgrimage, you might call it, was they were big into breath work, so there was a lot of, at the time I would have called it a lot of annoying breath work, because if you've ever done, if you've ever done breath work, it's a little, it's not for the faint of heart to, in doing that kind of work for, in your spiritual process. So,
True
Britt,
that.
So our journey has brought us to this time. It's almost like we've been incubating. And she, Britt, is literally my favorite person on the planet. She's so ridiculously talented, and to be in celebration of one another, and we laugh so much, and it's great. So we're excited to see where this radio journey takes us, along with our other projects and dreams and aspirations and journeys and stuff. So anyway, that's the Crestone story.
Awesome. That sounds like an amazing place. And what an amazing grouping of people and activities. And it's making me, based on what you're saying, Daniel, think and turn to Britt and ask about your book writing journey. That's 24 books, and that
Yes,
has had to take some
congratulations.
time. How has that been
Thank
for you, and how
you.
did it get started?
I fell into it. I've actually been like writing books since I was really little, and like selling them on my Girl Scout, on my course.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it
What a young
started a long,
entrepreneur you were. I love
yeah,
it.
right. So I mean, it started so long ago, and then I really became involved in health and wellness, and wanted to be able to stay home with my kids. And I literally applied for like a writing gig on a job board. And it ended up being for a publishing company. And so I wrote my first book and they loved it. And then it was just like every project that they could come up with that had something to do with health or fitness or nutrition, they would send my way. And we just, it was Simon and Schuster is a powerhouse publishing company. And we've just been
Oh,
able to
yeah.
make awesome magic happen. Yeah. So it's been great.
Great.
It's fantastic.
Wonderful.
I have to chime in though, Britt, because one of the funniest parts of Britt's writing story is, and she, Britt, you may not even remember that you told me this, but in college, part of her side hustle was, helping, I'll say helping other students
Helping,
write.
yes.
If you could see my air quotes, helping other students with their with their writing projects before
Got
she'd go out clubbing.
Yes, and that's probably what kicked off like the cycle of abundance having something to do with it, right? Because it was just me wanting to be able to help serve my fellow pupils in their writing assignments.
But I mean, but for Britt, I mean, that's sick though. For you to be able to just like go, whatever the random subject matter was that somebody dropped on your platter, and for you to be able to crank out a research paper or a booklet or whatever, like at the drop of the hat, is really, it's
What
ridiculous.
talent.
Oh, thank
It's
you.
extraordinary.
Oh, Dee, that's awesome. Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. I had never even thought of like how funny that was, that it was just like random. So yeah, it was like random topics and then kind of like go.
Well, I've had this script writing this script inspiration the last like little over a year, and I mean, Britt's in the middle of finishing her book, but that's been part of my inspiration for getting her involved, is like going, God, maybe, because I have the concept and it's pretty cool. And I'm, it's the first one that I could actually see being, us like going, oh my God, it's on Netflix or something like that. But my Britt, you're probably going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting here.
I do. Well, and that's the thing, is the concepts are cool of the passion projects that he's referring to, and that I think will be a pretty big theme of the radio show, are they're all really interesting, and they're true passion projects.
Well, there really is some a very unique talent in being able to not only come up with an idea and bring it into the physical, but then also to be able to write about it and to get people's attention that way. And it just sounds like you, through both your own gifting and then all that practice you got, really has given you a certain kind of way to work with words. And it's just there. And that's just really, really incredible. And what great topics to be able to be fluent in, and to talk about, because I really feel like it's what is important for everyone to be paying attention to in the way of health and fitness and wellness, and how to take care of our bodies and all the different ways that we have to. I know for myself, that was not necessarily given to me. I've had to figure that out, so to speak. And so I know that even though I haven't read your work, I know that you're offering a huge gift to the community and to the world, and being able to talk to the importance and also how to do it. So that's very exciting,
Well,
and I'm excited to
I mean,
hear.
Jay, she won't, in the interest of promoting each other here, she's actively coaching and focuses on women in their process, and with clients. So how, I mean, us three are, let's say, specifically spiritually focused. I call mine psychic life coaching. But she is this talent and resource for women, especially to tap into in their transformational process. And Jay, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I don't know if you recognized. I mean, I've been an athlete my whole life, and I find that the fitness or the athlete piece, or the exercise, the breathing, the body piece, is one of the keys to being centered spiritually. And I don't, I, you know, whether it's through the breath or whether it's through the exertion or things like that, but I don't know if in your journey, in your unfolding spiritually, how big a piece was that for you?
For me, I'm finding out that it's a vital piece. And it was something that I have kind of like yo-yoed in my fitness journey in my life. But as I've gotten older, it's more, it's just been impressed upon me how more and more important it is to be moving. It helps me move the energy through my body when I'm doing psychic intuitive work and empathic stuff. If I don't move, it just sits. But if I break a sweat and get moving, even just for 20, 30 minutes, even at home yoga practice, any kind of movement where I'm really focused really helps move that energy through me. And when I don't do it, it kind of starts feeling like it like weighs on me. So from that standpoint, I've really seen how important it is. And then overall, just watching my grandpa and my mom struggle with their mobility and understanding that I don't need to struggle at that age when I get there, as long as I keep moving now. And so it's from that kind of place that I have learned and can see the benefit, but I'm still having to work on my patterns and keep myself motivated.
Yeah. Well, I think we're always cheering each other along. I thought the study that they've recently, in the last few years, shared with the world on strength, how there's always this push for cardiovascular, but there's, Britt, correct me if I'm wrong here or I'm getting this wrong, but the strength training piece, as a component of brain function as we age. And it's not about going in the gym for an hour. I mean, 5 or 10 minutes of high intensity strength training is supposedly sufficient. And I mean, I have to tell you, I feel almost guilty, but I have found that, that high intensity 20-minute workouts got me in the best like fitness looking shape of my life here in the last few years. So, Britt runs marathons and does triathletes. So she's probably going, ha, 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 I laugh at you.
No, HIIT workouts are the best. Absolute best. And talk about like blasting fat. And I mean, they do everything from like optimizing your metabolism. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I think the combination of, how Jay was saying with the yoga, like when you have like those mobility and range of motion focused exercises coupled with like low impact cardio, like walking, I'm the hugest proponent. I'm the biggest supporter of walking. And then HIIT, like just combining all of them together. It's like, how could we not, live and enjoy life forever, for years and years and years. It's like the perfect combination.
It's nice to hear you say that too, because I find that with my clients, a lot of times, one of the missing pieces that comes through from source is that God wants them, the universe wants them to get their body moving. And sometimes folks are so intimidated thinking that they have to bite off some giant chunk. And it's kind of like with meditating, 5 minutes a day of breathing and being centered is life changing. Like literally, people will go, did you do something different with your hair after you do that for a month? But it's the same with the walking piece, or it's like that overworn saying, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. But in this case, just that, like walk to the end of the driveway and back to start out, or things like that. So it's maybe it's important in our conversation today to spotlight how in our spiritual development, in our really being present and tapping into our highest and greatest sensory perceptions, psychically, clairvoyantly, clairaudiently, channeling, talking to spirits, angels, whatever that piece is, it's amazing how much just that little bit of body movement helps. So. Mm-hmm.
We spend so much time in front of a computer screen or a phone screen these days. And I can't help but think there's some type of disservice that we're doing to ourselves physically from all this toxic soup of you know, electromagnetic waves and stuff coming up all of our Wi-Fis and all this other stuff that we're living in. And so probably more important now that more than ever to go out, get grounded and walk it off.
Yeah. Well, and the connection to our limbic system now is being understood, you know, with social media. And, you know, it's like, and you know, we all four of us are conducting our practices and our professions, so to speak, our vocations electronically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's a social media component and, you know, and finding the right algebra or calculus to this whole puzzle is challenging. Again, especially since the, you know, what they are understanding about how the limbic system is being calf roped by social media to a certain extent, and into pulling us out of our highest and best place. So how do you guys manage that, like, you know, that not, you know, not giving away our power to, you know, likes and social media presence and
yeah,
like that.
That's a great question.
All I can say for myself, I've done a lot of posting. I used to do a video a day, and was really trying to get myself in, you know, get myself to that influencer status. And I just saw myself putting a lot of energy into that that didn't really feel like it really came back at me. And not that it needed to be totally calculated, but I just felt like I was putting an awful lot of energy out there to not get much back. And so for me, I've had to look at it more as a tool and how I can use it slowly and use it in my own way, and that I don't need to be an influencer. I don't even really want all that kind of attention. I was kind of afraid of it anyways. And so it's more about, for me, what can I do in the real world? How can I use the social media as like a sidekick, but not the main event? And that's how I've had to work it for myself to not get my nervous system blown out by it.
Well, you know, we have this genius of an employer at One2, you know, in Mark, that has created this platform for us, and you know, and I know I have, I mean, it's like public confession. Well, I know I've fallen short on leveraging social media to a degree that it is sufficiently promoting the business, you know? I mean, you know, and it's weird, you know, I love that we are all so in service with the work that we do. And there's a purity to it that I love. I mean, you know, this is a gifted group of folks providing high level service to people in the world that I think the people that show up to our practices and to One2, for example, are, you know, these are the blips of light that are creating the ripples that are going into humanity. Yeah. So I feel bad that I haven't been able to leverage that, because I, you know, it's like, you know, the whole death scrolling thing, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, not really, but, you know, I know that's a term, but I've been bad at it and would like to figure out how to be better at it without it taking on a life of its own. I told Britt we needed to hire somebody that was just great at it, and, you know, that way we could benefit from it but not be a prisoner to it.
Yeah, not have to sit there and figure out how to.
It just sounds like such a slippery slope.
Yes.
It really is. And I mean, it's so great. And it, from an educational informative standpoint, it's amazing. But when you get into some of the selling, some of the, like, just validation
the whole marketing thing.
through you know, posting, and usually about very heavy dynamic topics, I'll say. And then also like the fluff, the like the circus of the world just getting perpetuated over and over and over again, instead of actually letting some of the more like organic, what people are really talking about, come to the surface. And I feel like TikTok is changing that. And I honestly think that's kind of why it's on the chopping block too, because it's it does seem like it's more for the people, and how it operates and how the algorithms work, versus how Facebook and Instagram and others like it are more business oriented and about, you know, making sure they get their money from boosting. Where TikTok, it's more still the sharing and the community aspect is still, there's still a free part, you know, that they're not making you pay for or buy into in order to get your message or your name out there.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting.
I'm not very TikTok educated. I guess I've gravitated more to YouTube, because I'm into ancient spirituality and physics and how the quantum world is really the spiritual world, and learning the language of both of them help us navigate life without judgment, and to looking at life in a vibrational manner, or a frequency manner, rather than and the language that we choose that aligns with a frequency or vibration orientation takes the black and white out of life, or the good and the bad, and allows us to reach for higher vibration and higher frequency through a new pathway. So, you know, so Mark sent us a thing about YouTube today, and I got excited because, you know, I speak YouTube.
Yeah. And that's well said, how the quantum is changing things, especially in spirituality, and not being, it's not black and white. There's a lot of gray in between, and a lot to be said for neutrality and responsibility, really, in that when you pass judgment and something is good or bad, you've kind of cut off from possibility.
Yeah.
And the quantum shows us that anything, literally anything, is possible. A good friend of mine does a quantum show on Saturday nights, and he has a panel afterwards, and oftentimes I'll go on the panel. And the stories that you hear from examples of quantum working in people's lives is just amazing, and it's endlessly fascinating to me. But that, it spills over into like the paranormal and things like that, and it's just wow.
because that encompasses the multidimensionality of spiritual work, you know. I think it's important when we are able to utilize or assign language to some of these phenomenons or realities that aren't based in, that are essentially faith-based, but are have a scientific sort of bridge to it, or
yes.
Like a quantum bridge. Like, you know, Britt and I have this endless list of little sayings, bumper sticker things, you know, and I, the other day it was like, getting quantum, you know, TM. I think that one of the keys to leveraging our neuroplasticity or our ability to transform our neural pathways is by being able to adopt new language, because the new language, you know, the language of vibration or the quantum language, you know, as you were referencing, Raven, allows us to overwrite some of these old patterns that take us down pathways that that limit us. And and the observer principle in quantum science is a real thing, where just our showing up changes it, you know, our ability to show up and hold, you know, I love, you know, Britt and I talk about this holding the space, you know, holding the space for each other, for our clients, for, you know, any critical stakeholder or connection we have in life, you know, and to be in service, holding that space, but holding it in a way that, I guess, you know, provides a bridge to people making different choices or reaching for higher vibrational, like, dynamics in their lives, and, you know, and what that may look like.
And then there's quantum entanglement, which is a whole nother really exciting aspect to the quantum.
Where everything can be, I mean, and then, I mean, I get so confused, you know, I'm into quantum physics and, you know, the whole idea that every reality exists simultaneously is, you know, that's quite the mind job, you know.
It is mind boggling, isn't it? And then throw in timelines and parallel universes, and then on and on it goes.
Well, what do you think about that? You know, I've been contemplating a lot this idea that, you know, I guess I think somebody referred to it as quantum jumping, but, you know, if there are parallel or let's assume there are parallel realities, parallel universes, you know, and there are things going on. Hey, I like what's going on in that other timeline. And this, you know, is there an ability for us to tap into these alternate?
I believe there is. And I've been conducting an experiment now for almost a year.
I love you. Tell us about it.
Please.
With the timelines. And the whole concept of timelines first came to me when they were talking about the remote viewers that the government had. That's, I can't remember which project it was. Project Looking Glass, I think, or something like that. Anyway, and they at that time, this was in the late 80s, early 90s, saw five major timelines, or they'll sometimes refer to them as probabilities that we're on a trajectory on. Now, time is not exactly linear, but for this conversation, it's easier to understand it in a linear fashion. So of these five timelines, then two of them have now fallen away, and there's three. Now, I noticed something really strange. I have trees missing from my yard, and I have a gas cap that sometimes is attached and sometimes it isn't. And I've determined that when we're on the good timeline, the one with a positive outcome, my gas cap is attached. And when we are on the negative trajectory, it is not. And that's how I gauge which reality I'm in. I know that sounds crazy.
I think your missing gas cap is with all of the missing socks that used to be pairs.
It just doesn't stay attached. It'll you know, twist it, it'll just fall on the ground. The other one has the little connector thing intact.
So, Raven, just it's interesting. Britt, remember our conversation literally of a week ago on remote viewing, Ingo Swann, Joseph McGonigal?
Yes.
Yeah, so I was doing remote viewing 25, 30 years ago, Raven. So I love the subject matter. And I think you're, again, I love the term in the spiritual world, let's do field market research, you know, people who are listening, you know, let's see what happens here when we put these conversations, you know, when we're walking around Costco, for example, wink, wink, or doing our life, like being able to play with the vibration and the frequency of life around us, and, you know, and to notice the synchronicities and the magic that happens, you know, even when they're just little things, little, you know, it's a bumper sticker, it's a, you know, it's a something on the shelf of a store. But, you know, I am always encouraging people to not dismiss the way in the Native American path, it would be like, you know, trees or animals showing up and these are signs. Well, we're mystics in the mainstream, and if we approach life in that way, that that the universe, God, is talking to us constantly. And if we're
yes.
in this relationship, you know, that it's a, you know, because the more, and Britt and I, we have these just crazy, like, laugh fests or magic fests where we're going, you know, where we're building this energy each day on the magic, you know, I call it the magic-y fun of yesterday, where, you know, for example, I mean, how random, you know, today we're talking about remote viewing of all things. And, you know, that is, you know, so now here's our assignment today, folks. Let's pay attention on our field market research, our spiritual field market research, you know, to get some universal feedback from what we talked about today. Like, show us what, you know, like, you know, we've had banter and stories and fun time and things like that. And okay, God, show us what's important, you know, out of the things we covered today as we go forth. Is it exercise? You know, is it the quantum reality? Is it, you know, trips to Crestone, you know, meditating on top of mountains? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I feel like that. So let's report back next week, you guys, on what.
Okay. I will say, when I got gas yesterday, that the gas cap was attached again. I even kind of flipped it a few times to make sure it was going to stay in place and it wasn't just, you know, stuck up in there somewhere. And previously, it, for the last, I would say, 6 months solid, it has been unattached, that we were on the negative timeline. So okay. I'm very hopeful today.
How interesting.
And I know that sounds absolutely batshit crazy, but it's like the no, reality I'm in.
You know, keeping an open mind is like the best thing of all. And I love that you even, you know, regardless of whether anybody thinks it's batshit crazy, you are saying like, no, we're on the positive timeline. I am all about the positive timeline. So if your gas cap indicates it is, I am all for it.
Well, yes. And I do feel like this universe is so interactive, as Daniel was mentioning, and it will respond to us if we ask questions and interact with it. And I feel like I'm reminded of that movie Inception, when they would use those tops to know if they were in a dream reality or if they were in waking reality. And I feel like in a certain kind of way, your gas cap is like one of those indicators for you on like where you are. And
I have to watch that movie. I've never seen that one. It's just Leonardo DiCaprio, isn't it? Inception.
It is. And it's very, it's a very unique kind of movie. And it really talks to that whole idea of like dreams within a dream and how different things can get implanted into us. So it goes down that road. But it's also talking to some of these topics that we're talking about today, quantum jumping and multiple realities, parallel realities, and how fluid and flexible that is, and how we can interact with it in a totally different way than we're used to in our, quote, normal lives.
I do think that the missing tree has something to do with the fact that we are now just on two timelines, because I can't seem to get to that reality where that tree was. And I know that tree is missing because that's where I put my bird feeder every year. And it was right in alignment with the back door with the kitchen for the cats to be able to see and watch the bird feeder. I go out there to the bird feeder and the tree is gone. It's just flat gone. And I noticed back in the winter time. And there's no uprooting that hasn't been cut. It's only a few feet away from the back door. So, I mean, I know that tree was there and now it is gone with no trace. Like, it was never there. And I'm like, what am I going to hang my bird feeder on now? I mean, it's on the edge of a woods. There's other growth around it, but nothing strong enough to hold up the bird feeder. But I know that tree was there. And I know I'm not crazy. I know it was there. So if we were on three timelines, that third one must be where that tree is. And we're now down to two timelines.
Well, that's the mystery of Little Egypt up there in southern.
I'm not far from there.
Yeah, no, I know. I used to have a farming project up there, and that, you know, you're in a vortexy area, you know, so
yes,
I wouldn't be surprised if there's not some shenanigans going on. But Jay, were there any fun comments on in the chat today about you know, it's like I'm trying to encourage our, you know, our counterparts and clients and people to, you know, join us in this experiment.
That sounds good. Nobody has a question, but I want to do a shout out to who's joining us. We have Shadow and Sun. He says, howdy, folks. It's great to see you. And Tara is joining us as well. Hi, Tara. Renee says hello. Hi, Renee. And Quelly. Hi, Quelly. It's great to see you too. And Shell. Shell's saying hi. So as Daniel said, those of you that are joining us live in the chat and just listening in, this is a great opportunity to pay attention to the observer within and to get as present as you can in these different moments that you happen to find yourself in the next week. And be open to the magic, be open to the messages. Like Daniel said, if we spend 5 minutes a day to get centered and breathe and meditate, that can be life-changing. And he is not, that is not an exaggeration. And I have my own experience to prove that. But it's the consistency thing. It's doing it consistently and over time, and not just expecting that if I sit down and do it once that everything's going to change that day. That's not how it works.
Right.
So,
no,
five minutes a day, every day is better than once a month for 5 hours.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally.
No, and after a while, it becomes a habit.
It's the thing that we all, I think, have had to experiment with in order to see how the results work. And this is a great opportunity for us to get to do it together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should do the 28 minute challenge with everybody, or the 28 day challenge, you know, because a moon cycle is typically enough to really, you know, give somebody traction in these new patterns. And oops, sorry.
I love that. And it's perfect timing, right?
Yeah, today's a new moon.
Yeah, exactly. New moon in general. Yeah.
Happy new moon, everybody. I forgot.
Happy new moon.
Happy new moon, indeed.
Right. So yeah. We're at the latter part of the show, and I want to give you both an opportunity to talk about what is your latest thing that is going on that you would like to promote in your business, in your respective businesses, and we'll, I feel like, be able to kind of end the show on that. And how about Britt, you go first.
I would really just like to invite any positive vibes for this book, this She Rises and Thrives project, to really just touch the lives of anybody whose hands, you know, become in contact with it. So I'm hoping to help anybody who's hurting around the world. And so just any positive thoughts, blessings, and bliss its way would be much appreciated.
Great.
We can definitely do that. We can definitely do that, and will. I'm excited. We can't. Do you have the cover art done yet, or is that still in the making?
We don't know. And it's funny. I was sharing with Daniel. I was like, "What do you think about this?" It was like a picture of a female warrior, and I showed it to my son last night. He was like, "No, it doesn't fit." He was like, "You're on the right track. But that's not the right one." So we're on the right track, but we haven't gotten the definitive final product decided on yet.
I like that cover art. It reminds me of Boudica.
Yeah.
I shared it with Raven Brick because I thought it was so fun, you know.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that it might be fun to have two or three different poster options that represent the book that maybe book buyers and readers could order. You know, you could have the warrior version, the spiritual warrior version, you know, the warrior version.
I love that. Yeah,
that's a great idea, because you can come at this from two different angles.
Absolutely.
The She Rises Absolutely. And Thrives from the woman that was really hurt and she's mad as hell. She, you know, would buy the one that has the warrior and the Boudica on the front cover.
Yeah,
get the swords out, cut their heads off. Yeah. And then the not so violent, aggressive energy, you know, that more peaceful approach.
Yeah. I mean, and it's fun because they can intertwine. And the whole book is really about like just evoking empowerment and everybody being able to kind of have that happy, healthy wholeness within themselves and in their lives. So I'm really hoping that this is like a transformative book that really helps a lot of people.
Sounds like it. Great.
So talk about, I don't know if this is a quantum thing. It's more of like a wink from the universe thing. We had a family dog, and my sister named it Boudica, and it is after the warrior. Is it a princess or a?
She was a queen.
Like a queen. Okay. So I just, when you said that name, I was like, oh my God, we had a dog named Boudica.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. The Romans, she was fighting off the Romans. She eventually lost, but it was a time when Rome was invading England. Hmm. Britain, as it was called then. So I found out it was kind of cool that your name is Brit.
I know, there's so many winks going on.
Yeah.
Jay, we have to send you a picture of the poster. It really is. It's the kind of poster that is it's really badass. Whether it's right for the cover of the book or not, it makes me want her to be my warrior. So,
yeah.
All right, I can't wait to see it. Daniel, tell us any final words on how the listeners can work with you or find you.
You know what, Jay, thank you for having us today. This has been fun. They can find me through 1-2-Listen. I'm also on Instagram as Daniel J Psychic. I really am encouraging people to look at the work that we do as a process and not just as much as a one-off, that if they, it's kind of like meditation, in some ways it's like this, we are the ultimate therapeutic hack. If I could say so, humbly, and if folks really bought into the work, consistently, as opposed to just let's say when crisis was hitting or things like that, I've been watching the needle move for people that I work with. And it's one of the most thrilling and exciting and rewarding experiences I've ever been able to be part of and observe. So, it's exciting to be engaged in your process, and it's not always easy, but there's a lot of help here, whether it's with me or with Raven or Jay or Britt or with any of the folks that we are blessed to have as colleagues. So
it's incredible to hear you talk to that and mention that. It is something very special what's going on here. And I do want to also thank Mark for creating this whole 1-2 universe for us to come work and play in and grow in. And I'm so grateful that you both were able to come. Thank you so much for taking the time out to be here with us. And we'll have to have you back once you get ready to launch your show. So that way we can talk about that more specifically and also have another opportunity to check in on how things are going and to also talk about our experiment that we're starting here, getting that observer on and really paying attention to our realities and seeing what can shift.
Sounds good. Field market research over and out.
I have that picture here. It just takes me a minute to get it from my regular messages in my phone to transfer it over to Messenger so I can get it onto Facebook. But I'll have that posted here in just a minute.
Okay. Awesome.
I thought that picture looked a lot like you, like it was
It is her.
That's exactly what my son said. He was like, oh, my friends are already making comments about how you look. Now we're going to have this on the air. So yeah. It was very sweet.
It's awesome.
Britt, I think you should. Raven, yes, post that. We'll start taking orders anytime.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Okay. Well, we've talked right down to the end of the show. And I want to tell everybody to stay tuned for Aaron Carrera, who is up next. Thank you both for being here with us today on Backstage Pass, and join us again next week. Over and out.
Bye, everybody.